Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Perkins here. It's good to be with you. We're getting ready to go before the Lord in prayer. I just typed in the topic and two of the central scriptures into the chat. I have asked Minister Malone to lead us in prayer at the beginning of the service. She graciously agreed. So I'll turn it over to Minister Malone.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let us pray. Yeah. We thank you, oh God, for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you, Jesus, for sitting high and looking low. We thank you, Jesus, for being the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, oh God, for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Jesus, because there is truly none like you. We worship you. We adore you. We praise your mighty name, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We pray that your divine presence and spirit will saturate our atmosphere wherever we may be. We pray that the word that is taught tonight will reach us in the depths of our hearts and our souls, oh God, that we may grow, flourish, encourage, be strengthened by your word tonight, Jesus. We thank you for the word bearer, our pastor. We pray that you will continue to strengthen him, give him a supernatural strength during this time, oh God. We lift him up unto you and his family unto you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, even for the saints of God as we gather together and with one mind, one spirit, to hear your word, to lift you up, to glorify you in all things said and done. We thank you for it, Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you would continue to be God throughout our consecration, Jesus. Strengthen us where we are weak. In the name of Jesus, right the wrongs. In the name of Jesus, made the crooked places straight. In the name of Jesus, and bind the enemy and the free donuts. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for this time to be drawn unto you. And we pray, oh God, that you do the drawing in the name of Jesus. Because your word says that you, as we lift you up, you will draw all men. So we lift you up. We pray for the drawing. We pray for the communion. We pray for the dwelling of your presence, of your anointing, of your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you for that powerful prayer, Minister Malone. It's good to be with you tonight. Our topic tonight is following hard after God called to more. This is the lesson I started on New Year's Eve. We ran out of time. We had to cut it short to get into the praying of the new year in. And I said at that time that I would get back to this. So tonight is tonight. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to ask a question or two. And then in keeping most of y'all, I don't know if everybody has read the consecration document. But when I talked about the schedule, you know, because we're missing 2 weeks of prayer, our Monday night prayer meeting because of the Bible study, I said that we would have a more prayer-oriented time in Bible study. So after I read really two verses from two different books of the Bible, and then I ask a question or two, I'm going to pray again. I'm still feasting on the prayer of our beloved sister. Hallelujah. That was real. That was real. Hallelujah. Psalm 63 is a psalm of David. I'm just going to read verse 8 for now. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. John 10. Just going to read verse 10. Everybody knows this verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus is talking, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The topic, again, as you can see from these scriptures, falling hard after God. That's Psalm 63:8. And then called to more, John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so the first question is, what does it really mean to follow hard after God? Anybody?
Denying oneself, laying down pride.
Amen. Anybody else? Great answer.
What I think of falling hard after God is sort of like that Psalms that says, "There's a heart panted for the brook." So my soul, I believe I'm quoting it right. It's a passion. It's a passion to try to be more like Him, to spend time with Him. It's just, to me, it's a feeling. It's a passion. I want to do the right thing. I'm intentional. That's what I get out of.
Amen. And I'm going to read that scripture in a minute, so you're kind of peeking on my notes, Elder. Anybody else? What does it really mean to follow hard after God? We've heard that scripture, we've heard that phrase, but what does it mean? What does it mean to you?
Not giving up when it gets hard.
Amen.
I would also say, like, to follow God, you have to mourn your will to do things or your aspirations, your dreams. You have to mourn that and follow God. I'm sorry.
I'm missing that word you're saying. You have to do what to your will?
You have to mourn your will.
All right. Amen.
And accept God, and accept God's will. Like our dreams, our aspirations, we can attain them to the glory of God, but are we following God in doing so?
Amen. Anybody else?
This is insecure. I think it means to follow after God that you have to die to self, your desires. The things that you want, you have to put that on the black burner, and you have to put what God wants us to be, what's His desires are for our life. And you gotta kind of like dedicate your life to Christ, where it's no longer I, but Jesus that lives inside of me. So the things that that Jesus wants. That's the things that we have to want. And the things that Jesus wants us to do to love the Lord, Him, love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So basically just dying to self and doing the will of God in your life.
Amen. That was very similar to mourning your will, as expressed by Minister Malone. Very good. Well, y'all doing, y'all teaching my lesson for me tonight. Anybody else? What does it really mean to follow hard after God? All right, second question from John 10:10. Especially the part, you can talk about any part of the verse, but what I'm focusing on, if you want to talk about the first part of the verse, that's fine, because it's powerful, it's connected. My question, though, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is Jesus talking about for us when he talks about us having a more abundant life? Anybody? All right. Won't linger. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go back to Psalm 68. And I'm going to ask you the same question about Psalm 68 after we read the first 8 verses and see if anybody adds anything. I don't think you'll change your answer, but I want to see if anybody adds anything to the answer about what it means to follow hard after God. All right, saints, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, hallelujah, to lift you up, to praise you. Lord, we thank you for the power of your scripture. It is indeed a privilege to come together today. And Lord, you have kept me all day long. Hallelujah. I didn't do anything in my own strength. Lord, I just tried to push. And Lord, I felt your power propelling me through the day. And Lord, it's been a powerful day. It's been a good day. Hallelujah. Nothing spectacular happened. Nothing terrible happened. But Lord, it's just been a joyous, wonderful day calling on your name, trusting in you day by day. Thank you for the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us power. Thank you for the awesome prayer we had at the beginning of this service by Minister Malone, who so willingly responded to my request. Lord, we come, Lord, just as we are. We come, Lord, hallelujah, glad. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for consecration. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we are blessed because iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, we come together in your name, and it is a glorious thing. We come together, Lord, hallelujah, as brothers and sisters, shoring each other up against the attacks of the enemy. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Oh, Lord, it is our heart leaps at the opportunity to come before you. Our joy, hallelujah, just abounds in our heart, because you have caused us to be able to praise you one more time. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, in a time when we're finding out how short life is through sad reminders, Lord, we've got joy today. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for not leaving us or forsaking us. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the love we have one toward another. And thank you for what you're doing at our church, Lord. Thank you for the foundation that you are setting. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the assurance we have in our hearts, Lord, that you're going to stay with us, Lord, that you're going to bless us, Lord, and that you're going to continually put our feet on a rock to stay. Lord, help us to follow hard after you, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord, hallelujah. Help us to know what it is to sow Hallelujah. And intensity toward you. Hallelujah. In your word, when Jesus was walking the earth, he said, the zeal of the Lord's house has eaten him up, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we want to follow hard after you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch every soul in this place. Bless Brother Mike Holden, who's going for surgery tomorrow. Lord, a heart surgery. Lord, you are a heart regulator, a heart fixer, hallelujah. And you go in that operating room. And Lord, hallelujah, not only guide the hands of the doctors, but Lord, do the healing. And Lord, if you see fit to heal him before the surgery, Lord, we trust you. If that's your will, go ahead and do it. And Lord, but if he has to go through this surgery, Lord, bless him, Lord. Bless him throughout the surgery. Bless him in the recovery room. Bless him, Lord, against infections that abound in hospitals. Bless him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No setback. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that he might be strong after this procedure, Lord. If you, if it's your will for him not to be healed before the surgery. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless everybody. Bless all the families that represent him. Bless, Lord. As we come to you with a vision, Lord, of being a New Testament church, Lord, like the early church, for real church, Lord, not playing, not going through the motions, not informed, not trying to follow what somebody else is doing. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, helping us, hallelujah, together, just to follow your word, to be led by your spirit, hallelujah, to walk and live in your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, thank you for letting us have a little extra prayer time during the Bible class. And Lord, bless your people. Bless the families represented. Lord, families, hallelujah, are so important. Hallelujah, praise God. You sent your disciples on one occasion out two by two. And Lord, you're still binding people together in marriage. You're still binding families together. You're still bringing agreement from people who are different. Hallelujah. To work together. You're causing us to be knit together. Hallelujah. In love, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we can do things with one accord. Hallelujah. And not lose the distinctive individual blessing and calling and gifts you've given us separately. We bring them together, Lord, hallelujah, to the altar. We bring them together, hallelujah, to the worship service. We bring them together, hallelujah, while we're sitting quietly hearing your word. We bring our gifts, hallelujah, and you are stirring them up by the power of your word, by the impetus of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we know you're doing something, hallelujah. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, move tonight. Move among your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Most scholars believe, and I believe, that this was when he was being chased by Saul. And the desert of Judah is pretty much 100% desert. It is a barren place. And yet it's not all that far from fertile land. Hallelujah. Isn't that how it is? You could start the morning rejoicing, praising the Lord, full of joy, feeling like $1 million bucks. Hallelujah. Tossing gold coins in there, giggling, having a wonderful time. And then before the day, the pressures of life, circumstances, whatever, old skeletons rattling in your closet, you could have a whole different countenance in the course of the day. You could be in a desert situation. And see, what I love about this psalm, hallelujah, in reading it, just reading it, hallelujah, just getting the punch of the word, hallelujah, in reading it, this man is in the desert, hallelujah, of Judah. He's not in the sanctuary. Now, we have the opportunity to come to the sanctuary. We have the opportunity to come on Zoom. We have the opportunity when we have Monday night prayer meeting to call a simple phone number. It takes us a few seconds to get up to get it. And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we got something more important. And sometimes it's real, right? Hallelujah. We know how life is, but sometimes it's just like, I don't feel like it. But here David is deprived of the blessing of going to the sanctuary, if he went and tried to go to the tabernacle during those days, his life would be in great danger. Hallelujah. Verse 1, Psalm 63, a psalm of David while he was in the wilderness, the desert of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Woo. He hits you right at the beginning. O God, thou art my God, and it's not redundant. He's honoring God, and then he's saying, let's get personal with this thing. You mine. Hallelujah. I know you got other people, but from where I stand in this desert, you are my God. Hallelujah. Early will I seek you. Early in the day, I want to set the tone for the day. And early in terms of priorities, I'm going to seek you. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will wake us up in the middle of the night with a yearning for him, and then we'll go and fix a ham sandwich instead of praising him, instead of praying. That's the flesh. Does it mean you're a bad person? It just means you're a person. Hallelujah. But we got to overcome that, as some of y'all said in the remarks when we were asking the question. We got to put that aside. And he says, early will I seek thee. Your priority. People are seeking satisfaction and other things, God. But hey, I'm seeking satisfaction in you. And not only is it priority, I'm eager. Nobody has to pump me up. You know, one of the advantages, I think it is a better advantage to grow up in the church. You've heard more sermons. More godly people have prayed over you. You have got introduced to the word. Praise the Lord. You have developed the concept of fellowship with some of the other people in the church. It is overall better to have been raised in the church. But one of the advantages that I wasn't raised in the church is I come to the church when I was a teenager, 18 years old, with a fresh set of eyes. And whenever we would go to a service and somebody would say, why don't you praise the Lord? And fussing at the, and I'm thinking, if God is good, why we got to fuss at people to praise? I wasn't praising God myself, but I knew better than that. And he says, my flesh longeth for thee. Hallelujah. I need you more than I need a ham sandwich. I need you more than I need my daily needs. I think it was Job. It said, I desire you more than my necessary bread. Hallelujah. All around about chapter 23 of the book of Job. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. He's in a dry and thirsty land. Where no water is, hallelujah, but you can't tell it from this psalm. He's like he's in the most glorious cathedral the world has ever known, because his heart is set. He's falling hard after God. He's not playing church. Ain't nobody got to say, come on, let's say amen. Why don't you, I wish we had some people in here to look. If it's not in you, then something's wrong. I remember I was coaching 15 and 16 year old boys. My son was on the team. Hallelujah. I hadn't planned to coach 15 and 16 year olds. I didn't even have time to coach 15 and 16 year olds children. I was working hard. I had already coached my son 9 and 10, 11 and 12, 13. 15, and my daughters, when they were 13 and 15, I coach all three of them. And then when my son is 15 or 16, I can't remember which age, I think it was 16, may have been 15, I don't know. The coach just quit. He was the former TSU baseball coach. He just quit. And we had a group of boys out there, and I said, okay, I'll coach. And we had to go recruit people. We had to beg some of those boys to come. We had to beg them to come to games. They were big boys starting to have little part-time gigs, girlfriends, and everything else. And we forfeited some of the games. We played doubleheaders and were forfeit doubleheaders at the beginning of the season. And I kept on pressing. We were in a league where everybody went to the tournament. I said, by tournament time, if these boys show up, we might be able to make a little noise. So got to the first tournament game. We were playing Jess Neely, which is a team from out East Nashville. We were from Parkwood. And I went off on the boys. My assistant coach, when I run into him now at Kroger or something, he laughs about it. I said, I'm tired of chasing y'all like I'm chasing some kind of woman. Try to get y'all to come to practice. If y'all want to get stomped, if y'all want to forfeit, go ahead and forfeit. I can't want it for you. Where's your fire? Where's your pride? Don't you? I thought y'all were some bad boys from Parkwood. I remember when y'all used to contend for the state tournament. And if you won the state tournament, sometimes you get to go to Texas for the World Series. Where y'all at? I just went completely off. It wasn't playing. We went out there. We beat just nearly. Well, like I said, we've been losing game. We beat them 12-2. We had boys who were striking out, hitting doubles and stuff. I think Rusty had like a triple, a double. He just clowned on that day. We beat him. Now, I got to cut it short. The best team was Goodlettsville. We played them tough. We didn't win. We won another game. When we won that first game, the Jess Neely coach got thrown out of the game. Then the next game, we won, the coach got protested the game, which was foolish. We ended up getting second in the district when we had been one of the worst teams. But at sometimes you got to have a zeal for God for yourself, right? I shouldn't have to be checking on people and say, why are you not in church? And I don't hardly do. I'll check on and say, how you doing? But I ain't going to beg somebody to come and praise the God who is this good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point in my life where there's nobody else living from the family I grew up in. I never thought I would see this day. I never thought my baby sister would die before me. Both my sisters gone, my brothers gone, my parents gone, and I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Nobody's pumping me up. Praise the Lord. I'm coming to work and I'm being silly. Renita knows I'm silly. I'm cracking jokes. I'm cracking jokes to lawyers. I'm having a ball. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And almost every day, at some point in the day, I feel like I'm running on fumes. And I say, Jesus, Jesus, I am your man. Hallelujah. I am your child. Your name is glorious. Hallelujah. You're not going to let me stay on these fumes. And somehow, God blesses me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't run on empty unless we're talking about the empty tomb. We got to get our minds made up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't want it for you. Pastor Perkins can't want it for you. Either you love Jesus for real or you don't. Hallelujah. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty lung. Not only his flesh, but every part of him longed for the, even his flesh, hallelujah, lined up. Somebody's one or two or three, maybe everybody spoke of that when I asked what it means to follow hard after God. Nobody has to pump you up. Nobody has to chase you down. Hallelujah. Nobody has to get you to show up. I shouldn't have to tell y'all to be there at 9:15. All right. Hallelujah. I see something. God has shown me something. He's ready to move. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we got to be there. Praise the Lord. Be there at 9:15. I know what it means to be an unsaved person walk into a church and look like a ghost town. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints, hallelujah, we got to, hallelujah, get this thing, this fire. The Pastor Drive used to talk about the Holy Ghost fire all the time. Hallelujah. And boy, she get to shouting and preaching and dancing around church. I said, is this the lady that is 70-something years old and had a stroke? It was the joy of the Lord. We understand, hallelujah, that we can do bad by ourselves. And every shipwrecked soul that stumbles in the bread of heaven, church can do bad by themselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if we in there half-stepping, walking in the church like we going the Green Mile to the electric chair, how are we going to expect somebody to know how great God is? Praise the Lord. So this is my request. Y'all know I don't fuss. I don't think God's too good. He's too good. I'm not going to fuss. Come to church at 9:15 if you can. Now, if somebody calls you and say, I need a ride to church, go get that person. Don't worry about 9:15. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying to you is that, will I ever fuss at you? Will I ever call you aside and try to give you some kind of private reprimand because you're not there at 9:15? I'm just too busy praising God. I'm not going to chase after y'all. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not called to chase y'all. I'm called to do whatever God would have me to do. We got an awesome group of people. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to the brothers, when I'm talking to the ministers, when I'm talking to Elder Holden or somebody, I said, we got some of the finest people I ever met at Bread of Heaven Church. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And God is going to bless us. Praise God. But we're called to more. And we got to follow hard after God. It ain't about show. I'm not grading y'all on y'all praise. Why would I do that? How would I be able to? You know, I don't sit in that high spot. I'm among y'all. God has called me to be a pastor, and I wouldn't be on this call tonight if God didn't call me to do it. I have no ambition. I have no desire to be in front of me. I have no desire to speak to anybody's crowd or anything like that, or to stand in front of people. No. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I can't want it for you like I told those 15 and 16 year olds. I just came. Hallelujah. And I ain't fussing. It might sound like I'm not. I'm just going with the scripture. And there's a reason why I didn't, we ran out of time on New Year's Eve, because evidently the Lord wanted me to talk about this during consecration. All right. No water is. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory. He's in the desert, not looking at some beautiful edifice, but to see thy power and thy glory. Why? He's looking at nature. He's looking at the power of the word. He's looking at his track record. He's thinking about having fought Goliath. He's thinking about being in the sheepfold and having to kill a lion and a bear. And God gave him a little stripling the strength to do it. He's thinking about how he was in the sheepfold, almost forgotten by his father. And then he comes, and the man of God, Samuel, Hannah's precious baby, anointed him, and he was anointed to be king. And he went back and started fighting with those lions and bears and tending to those sheep. Then nobody had to tell him, David, why don't you sing for the glory of God? Why don't you praise him? This psalm, hallelujah, is a prayer. Nobody had to tell him to pray. To see thy power and thy glory. We got to see it. It's hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All kind of things in the land, trouble in the land, pain in our bodies. Hallelujah. We can't do what we used to do. Some of us who have gotten older, praise God. I know I was telling one of the brothers, I said, I don't have to just budget my time. I have to budget my energy. It might have been Elder Brasher. But yeah, because I don't have what I used to have. God knows what I have. And whatever I have, he gave it to me and he renews it, right? Hallelujah. And so I'm not saying there won't be times when we need to rest for the sake of our bodies and worship remotely. So for example, on a Sunday morning, I get that. But let's worship with what we got. If your cell phone is on 2%, get the best you can get out of that 2%. Right? And do the best you can to get it to a charge. The church is a charging station for us. Praise God. It is a wonderful thing. It is a glorious thing. And I'm so glad I'm not out in the desert running from a crazy king. Hallelujah. I can praise him without any threats. I can praise him in freedom. I can praise him in the midnight hour. My wife sneaks around in the morning trying to catch me talking to myself. I'm preaching. I'm preaching. Praise God. And when she caught me this morning, she said, "What'd you say?" She was outside the door, kind of eat, trying to ear hustle about what me and the God was, I was talking to God about. And what she did though, I was at that point in my little message or whatever it was, I was talking about her. I was saying some wonderful things about her. I said, "My wife is 66, going on 45. Lord, thank you for a fine wife and all that." I didn't want her to hear that. Get the big head, can't do nothing with her. You know what I'm saying? Y'all brothers, y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
praise the Lord.
Thank
Praise the
you,
Lord. But yeah, hallelujah. Renita knows, First Lady knows. There were years I wasn't preaching nowhere. We had a sanctified dog because he was in the garage and I'd go out there and preach to him. I know what Ezekiel meant to prophesy to the wind. You know, I'm out there preaching to the dog. I know Renita thought I was nuts, but I had to get it out. Hallelujah. God done brought me too far. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. David said, "You brought me from the sheep, from the sheepfold to the palace," right? God, my son used to always say, "From the guttermost to the uttermost," you know. God has brought us a long way, and we're thankful about it. And David is just worshiping out in the desert, praying to the Lord. He's falling hard after God while his life is in danger, where he doesn't have the comforts and support of home. Hallelujah. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. He had sanctuary in the desert places. Three. And I tell you, I've said this before, there were times that he was in the vicinity of four different deserts. And maybe he would wake it up in the morning, not really fully remember which desert he's in. You ever had that? Wake up in the morning, sad. Nobody's done a thing to you. Ain't had a chance. Wake up in the morning, bad. Nobody's had a chance to do anything to you. Wake up, don't know why you don't know what desert you're in. But to see that power and that glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, better than natural life, better than existing on the earth, better than going through the motions of life, but not really living not really living the abundant life, not really living the call to more that God has on our life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in that more abundant. I have come to be lied on. I have come to be spat on. I have come to have my hands pierced for your practices. I have come to be pierced in my side for the lust and the crazy stuff that's in you. I have come, hallelujah, to be pierced in my head for your crazy, messed up, dysfunctional, lustful thinking. I have come to be pierced in my feet for all the places y'all gonna go that you're not supposed to go. I have come that you might have life. And that more abundantly. Hallelujah. I come to bring some kind of different spin on life. I'm bringing the Spirit with me through my name. Hallelujah. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Moses didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. And all those old prophets of old, men of renown, were not filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would fall upon them. They would have moments of temporary expression. Hallelujah. But I come to fill you and for you to abide in me and for me to abide in you. I come for a different, whole, altogether different mission. Praise God, or more elevated mission for more, hallelujah. You can go from Russell to Russell plus by what I'm going to do for you, hallelujah. And what are you going to do, hallelujah. What shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto you? What are we going to present? Is it all about what God can do for us? And we know he can do anything. Does anybody ever ask, what can I present? What can I add? Sometimes all we can have is a sacrifice of praise like David had in this desert. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. And we know he's not just praising him with his lips. He's praising him with his heart and everything that he had. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'm going to bless you while I live. I'm going to praise you while I live. I'm going to bless your name while I'm going to speak well of you all the days of my life, no matter, hallelujah, how it turns out. Hallelujah. I don't care how many people trying to kill me. I'm going to praise you. I will lift up my hands in your name. Not when I feel better. Not when my circumstances. Not when this desert disappears. Not when Saul gets his right mind. I will, present tense, lift up my hands in thy name. And why is that? Because he knows God gave him the ability and the breath and the heart and the desire to praise him. So he's going to give back to God what God has given to him. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Hallelujah. I might not have all the benefits of home. I might not be eating steak dinners out here in the wilderness. I might not have all the good fine food I had under my father's Jesse's jurisdiction. Hallelujah. But my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Hallelujah. No matter what, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 104 toward the end, around 33 or 34, it says, my meditations of you shall be sweet. Hallelujah. In the middle of the night, I wake up, I'm writing scriptures in my phone. Now I ain't no angel. I got stuff I struggle with. Hallelujah. And that's why I need God the more. Hallelujah. That's why when the Lord brings something to my mind, I'll either write it down, but if it's in the middle of the night, I don't want to turn the light off. I make First Lady Renita crazy in the middle of the night. Because I want to talk to her and she wants to sleep, you know. I'm in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, wide awake, wired, you know. God's giving me something. God's dealing with me. He's helping me, hallelujah, to figure out who I'm supposed to apologize to and what I'm supposed to get straight in my life, you know. And I'm struggling a little bit. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I always got to go first, you know. But the Lord just deals with me. And I praise him, and I want to talk to Renita. And we got this little thing. Can I tell it, Nene? She didn't say nothing, so I can't. You know, when you go to bed, you say good night or night night, right? So in the morning, 3 hours of the morning, if I'm talking,
yeah, you can tell.
Okay, thank you. So if I'm talking to her, you know, we'd already said night night or whatever, like 10 o'clock or whatever, and then in the middle of the night, I start wanting to talk to her, and then she'll say day day, which means stop talking to me. I'm trying to go to sleep. It's the middle of the day. It's morning time. Quit talking to me. It's wee hours of the night. And then sometimes I don't get to say this often. It's mostly directed to me. Every now and then I'll start a conversation with her in the middle of the night. She'll respond, then I'll say day day. To get her back. It's, you know what it is like to walk with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You know what it feels like when things are not going the way you want them to go. And maybe your body is racked with pain or you're feeling weak, right? Maybe some old regrets, stuff come up. I'm so amazed when people say they have no regrets. I wish I could say that. Maybe I'll get there one day. Maybe I'll get there when I grow up. But I do have some regrets. I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me this far.
That's right.
And I struggle with things, like all of you. I'm not a super saint. I never have claimed that. And we just want to draw near to the Lord. We want to praise him. We want to follow hard after him, right? We want to get after it. We want to get out of ourselves and go after God, right? Lord, if you got something for me, Lord, if there's a gift lying dormant, stir it up, Lord. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. I've been feeling this, some kind of way about this situation. I need some joy in it. I need some certainty. I need some leading, you know. I need some direction on this. I'm all confused about this and that. And I need, hallelujah, your direction. I need you to lead me. Hallelujah. I'm right now, a pastor has talked to me about something. I guess you would call it a proposal. And I said, well, I'll go talk to the church. I talk to the Lord. I don't need to talk to the church. I'm going to have to tell him no. I might tell y'all after the fact, but there was a warning in it. Praise the Lord. And so we'll just go with that. And the Lord will give me the way to tell it to him, and God will keep us in fellowship. Why? You say, how you know? I don't know. I trust God will, because it's in my heart to keep the fellowship. And if it's in your heart and you give it to the Lord and you trust him with something that you can't figure out, he will help you with it. He'll give you words to say. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. My time is good. I've done a grand total of like five verses. When I remember thee upon my bed. Now I can identify with that. Pastor Driver used to tell us, "Good Lord, Lord, woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Brother Perkins, if the Lord wake you up, get up and pray." She gave me a lot of good wisdom that helps me to this day. Things about managing your money and stuff like that, how to carry ourselves. She used to say, I like these, you know, she'd been married many years, you know. Her and her husband were married over 60 years. They both lived in their 90s, you know. But and she got married, she's like 15. He was about 30. You know, he was older. And she said, she got to testify. She said, I was walking down the street and I saw this good-looking man. And she said, he had everything I liked. He was tall. He was dark-skinned. He had that curly hair. That's what she said. I'm not making it up. She said, I walked by him, I had to shut my eyes. She said, I almost walked out into the road to get hit. I shut my eyes because I didn't want to look at that good-looking man. Well, I'm not advising anybody to get hit by a car trying to close their eyes or anything like that. But there was a lesson in that. You know, we don't have to be led around by what we see, what we feel, our emotions, the stuff we like. We like certain things. That's not good for us. That's the job of the flesh. And everything ain't the devil. Sometimes it's just us, this flesh, which is the conductor of sin. The devil is real. I ain't trying to get y'all to ignore that we have an adversary. But we got to deal with this. Hallelujah. And his flesh, verse 1, longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. That's where we want to get. And some days are dry and thirsty. Some days I can get no where, you know, kind of like Jeremiah said, is there no balm in Gilead? Where's the peace at? Where's the healing? Why is my mind worried? And then we get to talking to the Lord, falling hard after, realizing the Bible tells us that we don't have a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind that we have already, hallelujah, through his word, what God says. And if he said it, he's going to keep it, right? We got to trust in it and walk in it and press our way. Hallelujah. Singing as we go. Hallelujah. It might be a dry day. You might even be in what we might call a dry season. But just like Elijah, we ought to be able, when we open God's word, when we open our mouths to praise him, to be able to hear the sound of an abundance of rain, because God is wanting to end your dry season. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul. And if we had one of those old time preachers, they would say, my soul. I can't say it like that. Follow hard after thee.
Amen. Writing. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right.
You got to kick your leg up,
Yeah. Y'all talking about a different kind of foolishness of preaching. But my soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth. Now, we get back to the original question. Does anybody have anything to add on your earlier concepts or your earlier answers? What does it really mean to follow hard after God?
Pastor Perkins, Praise the Lord. Good evening to all that are on tonight. And things that you said triggered a lot of thoughts in me. And there's examples in the Bible, those that followed hard after God. And one example was Elisha, when he was called by Elijah. And it was out of the blue, even though the Lord had given Elijah several instructions of anointing a new king, and then you go and anoint Elisha to take your place. And Elijah has no idea what the Lord has instructed Elijah. And he's in the field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was a wealthy farmer, just going about his business. And Elijah comes through like he just sort of roamed, and as the Lord led him. And he came and he threw his mantle over Elisha and told him to follow him. And he really knew what that call was about. He may have heard of Elijah and just the description of it. He knew who this was. And he said, just let me go back and just kiss my family goodbye. And then I'll follow you. From that point on, he gave everything up. And after he had gone back home and bid his family goodbye, the Bible said that he ran after Elijah. And everywhere Elijah went, he was just right there with him as his personal assistant, all the way to the end. And to me, the beautiful part was when Elisha was going to be taken up, and he's just traveling from place to place. And Elisha told Elisha, just wait here. Just wait here. And he said, something's going on here. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to follow you. So Elisha doesn't tell him where he's going. He just takes off. And Elisha's just right there. It almost gives the impression that he's running, you know, and just traveling, just trotting, you know, from one place to the next. And he goes to Bethel. I believe it was Bethel. And then while he was at Bethel, that's where the school of prophets was at. And while he was there, the prophets told Elisha, don't you know that the Lord is going to take your master today? So, you know, I'm going to stay closer. You know, so keep on going. And here goes Elijah's just running. He's just running. And then he goes to Jericho, and another group of prophets said, the Lord is going to take your master today. So he's staying right there with him. He goes to the Jordan. We know, you know, that story just excites me. Goes to the Jordan. He takes his mantle and he smokes the Jordan and it parts. Man, and they cross over. And as they get to the other side, the prophets are watching from one side of the bank. And all of a sudden, here comes heaven opens up and the fiery chariot comes. And before that, he asks Elisha, what can I do for you? Knowing that I'm getting ready to leave, prophets have prophesied, I want a double portion of your anointing. And he said, that's a hard one right there. But he followed him so close that when the Spirit took him up, his mantle was left behind, and he had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And you count it, Elijah did 6 major miracles and Elisha did 16. And just for following close to the man of God, which represented the Lord, which represented God. Amen. This man received one of the most powerful anointings in the scripture, but following close to the Lord, not straggling and leaving distance. And he was faithful, his faithfulness, like you were talking about, it wasn't hit and miss. I'm going to go with him one day and then he don't really know where I am the next day. And just Jacob, after Jacob had served Laban and been tricked for 20 years And he finally leaves, and the Lord meets him at Bethel, another place where the Lord met him. And he wrestles with that angel, the Lord. And it's a unique thing. He's wrestling with the Lord, but he's also wrestling with himself. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. Let's hold it on to the Lord no matter what I go through, no matter what the battle is, no matter what the struggle is. I'm holding on to Jesus. So much so that there was a separating. He said, you're going to have to let me go. And he smote his thigh. There was a separation, which really is sort of figurative of the final separation of the old Jacob from the new Jacob, which he named him Israel, changed his name. No longer that trickster, you know, a change of character and everything changed, but he held on close. If he would have had to chase him, he would have chased that angel. The day is going to be a new day here. It's going to be a new day for you, Jacob. Following close. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. To be led, you got to follow. You got to be, it's kind of a two-part to be led. First of all, you got to be willing to follow. You know, he can lead you, but you don't follow. He could be leading and, you know, like you said, waking you up at 2:30 in the morning and he's trying to lead you to pray, whatever, and then you just roll back over. But we got to be willing to yield, surrender, submit to the Lord completely. Paul said, I was apprehended by that which apprehended me. In other words, the Lord was holding on to me. I wasn't holding on to him, but the Lord had apprehended me, and then finally I had to apprehend the one that had me apprehended. I had to eventually hold on and grab him because he had already grabbed me, and I had to apprehend him. And it was a Jesus. Thing of love that I finally did that. It was a surrender at the calling, and you know, just that yielding of my will to his will, yielded of my ways to his way, and just so much, Pastor Perkins, in the thoughts that, you know, the things that you said and that triggered just so many thoughts with me. And I know we got to go. but thank you, because I value, because see, what I do understand is, while we may not be feeling like we're saying much, but while Lord knows where all of us are, and while we're speaking, that's always my prayer. Lord, as I speak, you minister. See, the Lord's ministering, you know, no matter, I may stumble and stammer and stutter and, you know, and just come a few scriptures, but just through that, you know, it's anointed. The Lord can speak to you through that. He can speak to us all in a different way through what you gave tonight, Pastor Perkins, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
You don't know what you're doing. God bless
you. Thank you. You blessed me. While you were talking, I hadn't even thought about the disciples leaving their ships and nets and everything just because Jesus said, follow me. Falling hard after God. Anybody else? What does it really mean to follow hard after God? That was awesome, Elder Brasher. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, y'all ready to get off the call. I recognize. Your mind's probably got 20 beautiful things to say, but y'all ready to get off the phone, huh? Anybody?
I enjoy what Minister Brasher said, following hard after God. Also, too, I think about all the things that, you know, Apostle Paul went to and everything. And I think about when Paul said that, you know, he said that the Holy Spirit told him that wherever he goes, I think it was going to Jerusalem, that, you know, chains and things about, you know, are waiting for him. But he said, Paul said, but I let none of these things move me. And I think about that, and, you know, I think about the things, you know, that I had to go through and stuff like that, but it was nothing like what Paul went through. But yet he, for him just to say that, I let none of these things move me, and just his whole lifestyle, everything that he gave up for the gospel and everything, to, you know, the care of all the churches and all the beatings and everything that he went through and everything. But through it all, you know, he still just said, you know, my life is surrendered to God and everything. And for God I live, for God I die. And I was just so, you know, impressed, you know, by the Apostle Paul and everything, all the things that he gave up. And so that's a surrendered life to me. You know, we just got to give up, like you all said, we got to give up our time. We got to give up, you know, things, you know, we got to spend more time in prayer, reading the word, you know, trying to win souls for the Christ, for Jesus and everything, just like what Paul did.
Amen. I'm going to read that scripture.
Okay.
I'm going to read that scripture. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither, this is Paul talking, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep falling hard after God. First Lady, you available? First Lady Perkins, are you available?
I'm available.
All right. Final remarks. That's
okay.
And
okay.
Close us out in prayer, please.
Okay, so wait a minute. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You can't hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to say following hard after God. Also wanted to comment on that. Following hard after God is like, just let him be your priority. Like you're all, you're everything that you, like you wake up in the morning. It's kind of like having like your new love. You know how you think about him every morning, you think of him at night, you talk on the telephone, like hours you'll look up and you fall asleep because you've been on the phone. That's how we're supposed to do Jesus. We just love him so much. That we just fall hard after him, just longing for him. And so I just praise God for that. So I praise God for the everything that everybody said. I praise God for the message that was brought forth. And I just praise God for our pastor. You know, y'all, he's been going through a lot. He's just been persevering, pushing through. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank God. Y'all just continue to pray that we will forever just walk the walk that God would have us to walk in, and to be those that would have us to bless, you know, and that just be happy in Jesus with whatever it is. If our church grows, if it doesn't grow, that we'd be happy in Jesus and do what we're supposed to do before the Lord so that the people are in the places where they're supposed to be. So y'all just continue to pray for us that we are continue to stay encouraged, and I thank you all so much for your encouragement. Dear Lord, dear God, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it, Lord Jesus, because you have made this. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because we know without you, Lord, we are truly nothing, Lord. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. And we just depend and walk on you, walk and talk like you would have us to, Lord. If we would just fall hard after you, Lord Jesus, there's nothing that we might ask that wouldn't be given. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Bread of Heaven Church, hallelujah, those that are on the line, Lord. Bless and heal each and every one that is there, Lord. Bless their families, Lord. Heal their families, Lord. Heal their lives, Lord. Jesus, oh Lord, their relationships, Lord. Hallelujah. Give them financial peace, Lord Jesus. Peace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Give them peace, Lord, even in these times that are scary, Lord, the things that are going on that mess up your money, Lord. We pray, God, that you will continue to bless your people's money, Lord. Let it grow like no other, Lord Jesus. And yes. Let their spirit grow like no other, Lord. Let them walk and talk into you, Lord, like no other, Lord. We thank you for Great Heaven Church, Lord. We thank you for the saints. Lord, we thank you that they have, that everyone has just been such a soldier in you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, we praise you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, First Lady. Amen. God bless y'all. Good night.
Oh,
I love you.
Sorry. No, no, no. Thank you. Love y'all.
Good night. Everybody.
I love y'all.
Good night,
love
everyone. Love you too.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a blessed night in Jesus' name.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.